It is great to see you on this day. Appreciate so much your presence. There's nothing like having a topic that already causes you a great deal of attention. Things your preacher won't tell you. And then one of the attendees of this very session has told me, "I know one of your elders, Terry Pafford." Things a preacher won't tell his elders, a guy knows one of my elders. Okay, that works out really well. Let's take a moment. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father in God, thank you so much for the workshop here, Focal Point, for the great and lasting good that it's doing in so many lives, for the way it strengthens and builds up the body. Thank you for Jesus, the head of the body. Help us to bring every thought captive to Him and to speak, to move, to think as He would have us. In Christ's name, amen. 67. That is how many different elders I have worked with over the years as a local preacher. 67. They were all very godly men. Many of them have gone to be with the Lord, but a number are still alive and very faithful to the cause. Gospel preachers owe godly elders a debt they can never repay. Because you support us and encourage us to do what we love doing. You also defend us and protect us when small-minded people make criticisms. And you have an awareness that we are human beings that find themselves blessed to constantly encounter God and His Word and all that's holy. And so when men encounter the holy, the men are always made more and more painfully aware of their insufficiency. I wish every preacher and eldership related to one another the way that Paul and the Ephesian church related to each other. I would encourage you to think of Acts 20 as a template for the type of relationship that preachers and elders should seek to have with one another. I think of the relationship of the elders with the preacher as being a marriage. A marriage. And it ought to be a match made in heaven. In fact, it has been. But often, the marriage has gotten stale. And things have been allowed to creep into the marriage that might get into the way of the relationship and have a real impact negatively upon the family. Upon the family. So think about the relationship, and if you are an elder, God bless you. Thank God for you. I love elders. I love shepherds. And the great work that they're doing. What a task. If you are a preacher, thank God for your elders and do everything you can to ensure the best possible relationship with those men. You won't regret it. I suspect there's a number of elders here, and I already know for a fact this brother has been an elder for 40 years, correct? Which is amazing, he's only 51. But anyway, is there anybody here that's been an elder longer than 40 years? Here's a gift certificate over to Chula Vista Books on the other side of the building. Thank you for your service to the kingdom. We appreciate you. God bless you. Is there anyone here that's just become an elder in the last year or so? Anybody here?
Second time.
Second time. All right, Eddie. It's the way things work out sometimes, man. Here's a gift certificate to the bookstore on the other side of the building because you need all the help you can get. Amen. We need all the help we can get. Men of God serving as shepherds and as preachers. Things a preacher won't tell their elders. You know what? In a marriage, there are some things that a husband is very reluctant to talk to about his wife, with his wife. Some things a wife may be pretty reluctant to talk to with her husband. They're hard conversations, aren't they? So I want you to know I feel the tension, but I love preachers and I feel as a preacher compelled to represent gospel preachers. But I equally love elders and are thankful for the work that you do. But we need to work harder on our interpersonal relationships so that the family of God is not hindered or hurt. Here are 8 statements that preachers won't generally say to elders. Are you ready? Statement number 1. I am worn out, tired out, tuckered out, give out, and there are times I want out. That's a statement that very few elders have ever heard from their preachers. I am tired out, worn out, give out, tuckered out, and sometimes I want out. I have been blessed to preach where I preach now for over 18 years, and if they'll keep putting up with me, I have no intentions of leaving. Not just yet. But I'll tell you this. The thought crosses my mind more common than I'd like to admit because I love the people. I love the church. But for those of you who are elders, don't you get tuckered out and tired out and worn out? Understand that your preacher may be being asked to wear more hats than you do, even as a shepherd, as a leader. I recently did a blog post for Polishing the Pulpit titled, "The Many Hats a Preacher Wears." He's everything from a preacher, often a Bible class coordinator de facto. He also is going to be a missionary, a student, a defender of the faith, a defender of the congregation, an expert in communication and conflict resolution. He is probably helping with the young people in some way. He's also a person that is going to be a friend of all, the older, the widows, etc. He helps with cleanup. He helps prepare potlucks. He may even be a custodian or a mechanic, a counselor. And the point quite simply is this. The most talented individual in the world is not great at everything. No wonder why preachers are tired. Because we often feel so spread thin. We're spread so thin. And you would be shocked as leaders of the church if I were to mention names of well-regarded and well-loved preachers who have struggled mightily with this being tired, tuckered out, and occasionally reaching the point that I say, I guess I just got to get out of this. One of the most important roles of godly leaders is to help preachers focus on the things that they are best at. Amen. And to find others who will step up to the plate, Brother Caskey, in areas where they are not as gifted. Now you may have that rare individual who seems to be good at everything, but if you have a job description, think about this. There is not 100% total agreement among the elders of a particular church, even university here, and 3 or 4 of them are sitting in this class, exactly what the role of Wayne and Trent and Jordan is. There's some diversity of thought about that. Well, take that and multiply it 300 times, because that's how many people are in the congregation here. There's not a man alive that can fulfill all those roles well. And you do your preacher a disservice to not understand that and delegate to others. He'll be more effective if you know what he's good at. Encourage him in what he's good at and to keep on growing, but have other people do things that he's less capable in doing. Got it? What your preacher won't tell you, number two, I am struggling mightily with my family, and I wonder if you have even noticed. I am struggling mightily in my family, and I wonder if you have even noticed. There are so many elders that have a shepherd's heart, and thank God for that. When someone in the congregation, they detect that something's going on in maybe the family that's not good, they want to be there. But here is where often soul care for the preachers and their families is not as consistent on the part of leaders as soul care for the members of the congregation as a whole. And what I want to say, I will say bluntly here because I can biblically in representing my preaching brothers. You have just as much of a responsibility to care for the preacher and his family's souls as anyone else in the congregation.
Amen. Amen.
And they need you to. We need you to. They may not come to you and say, I am struggling mightily in my family. I understand we get our checks from the church, and you're often the ones who sign the checks. But you have a responsibility to our soul and to the souls of our family. And as a preacher, one of the greatest things you can do for me is to encourage and love my family. Please love your preacher and his family that way. You know they're not perfect. You've seen warts. You've watched children grow, or you're seeing them grow. But love them and encourage them and support them, because often when things transpire in the family and marriage of a preacher, it can have a devastating effect, huge repercussions within the church, can it? Why not be proactive? And by shepherding the preacher and their family, save yourself some headache later. Because you've been an elder for 40 years, and I bet on more than one occasion something that was going on in a preacher's life and within his family had a real ripple effect in the church. Understand your responsibility to the preacher and to his family. Number three. Things your preacher won't tell you. The wording of each one of these, I thought long and hard about. I thought, how in the world could Wayne assign me this topic? And I fretted and wondered about it. I'm just being brutally honest here. And then I thought how necessary such a discussion really is. Things preachers won't tell their leaders, their elders. Number three. Sometimes there's things in my soul that are so dark, that are so ugly, that I would be embarrassed. I would be ashamed, and I would be afraid to tell you. Sometimes there is a darkness of a preacher's soul that is so dark as he's in the valley that he would be so embarrassed and ashamed and afraid to even tell you. as an elder, thank God every day that you're not all-knowing. Aren't you glad after serving for 40 years, you don't know the thoughts and actions of everybody in the church? You know enough already, don't you? You know more than you want to know sometimes. But I want you to know that sometimes preachers have dark thoughts. Pride. Bitterness. Jealousy. Prejudice. Lust. And they're dark thoughts. And sometimes preachers struggle just like those in the pew to deal with sin in their own life. I do think there tends to be a double standard. And I understand to some degree why. If a member comes up to a group of elders and confides in them sin in their life, and let's get specific, a sin, pornography. A member is encouraged to get counseling. A member is prayed for. And I realize as preachers, we're held accountable to a higher standard. I understand that, and most of us do who preach. But still, you can struggle with sins that are dark. And you're so ashamed to acknowledge them and afraid, because not only if you acknowledge them to your leaders, might you take a hit as far as their estimation of you. The problem may be even compounded because you're looking for another job. You certainly have the right to terminate a man because of sin. Don't misunderstand me, please, okay? But I hope that that can be balanced with a love and care for a brother who is stained by sin and who needs help. And if he acknowledges that, whether or not he remains your preacher is your judgment. And you give an account to God. But please make sure that if he does such a thing, you try to help him. You try to help him. And do thank God as a leader, you don't know the sins of everybody in the church. They may think you're reading their emails. They may think that you've looked at their phones, that you got their house bugged. But it's just not true. Number four. What preachers won't tell their shepherds. This is something that you'll rarely hear a preacher say. I've tried to be your best friend and supporter. I've tried to be your best friend and supporter as a preacher. I've tried to support you and encourage you as leaders. But sometimes I wonder if you're mine. I try to be your best friend and supporter as a preacher, but sometimes I wonder whether you as leaders are my best friends and supporters. Different leaderships have different leadership styles, and even different individual elders may have their own personal touches that they put on leadership. But if you agree with the concept that the leaders and the preachers are something of a marriage, how many marriages become strongly one-sided? And in a marriage, a man is often aloof and he just doesn't talk. He's working. He's got stuff on his mind. Would that be a fair representation of many? And in a marriage, many ladies, she wants to talk. She needs to talk. There are things going on in the home that are important. And so you can think of the lady here as a preacher. There are things on his mind that he thinks are important that he wants to talk with you about. And he needs encouragement and support on. And as a man, you still need the respect and support of the preacher as a leader in the marriage. Work together. The same issues that are issues in marriage. Communication. Commitment. Investing time in each other. Are the same matters concerning which elders and preachers need to be paying a lot more attention. Amen?
Amen.
Because if preachers do feel that way, and I'm trying to represent them as best as I can, loving those men who are preaching the gospel and those men who are leaders in the church, our shepherds. But when the preacher and the elders have a wedge in the relationship, it will hurt the church. It'll hurt the family. So preachers, you be your elders' best friends. How many elders are in here? Raise your hand if you're an elder. You make it a point to encourage and support and love your elders. You hold their hands up high. And when good things happen, you give glory to God and thank God for the elders who brought you to that point in time. And you be vocal about it. And constant. You uphold those men. But elders, I want to tell you, sometimes the relationship gets one-sided. Now, I know that you hear people who criticize us, and sometimes the criticism is absolutely spot on. But if you want us to defend you, and sometimes people's criticism of you is not too far off the mark either, by the way, leaders. And we're going to defend you. Please think about that and being our friend. A preacher can go through a lot with the support of his leadership and the support of his family and the support of his good Lord. With me? Number five. Things your preacher won't often tell you. I often struggle with terrible feelings of inadequacy. Some guys may try to cover that up with what appears to be a pride or arrogance or a lot of self-confidence. But I assure you, see, number one, I am tired out. I am give out. I am worked out. I am just, I want out sometimes because I don't feel adequate. I don't feel sufficient. Many of the greatest servants of God have felt that way, and I believe that the preacher's fainting fits of inadequacy are a way that he keeps us in check. We get to proclaim the Word of God, and are we worthy? Keith, you worthy? On your best day, you don't give him what he deserves. Me either. And on our worst day, he uses us to change people's lives. That is a terrible feeling in one sense and a glorious thing in another.
Amen.
It keeps everything in perspective. But Moses felt inadequate. Think of others that have felt inadequate, great men of God. It's not necessarily an indictment on a person's spirituality if they're struggling with their inadequacy. We have treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Who is sufficient for these things? There will always be sermons to preach. Classes to teach, souls to bring to Christ, people to warn to come back home, people to lovingly encourage, hospital visits, funerals, I've done 344 funerals, and I mentioned that to a preaching brother. He said, that's a lot, Mike. He said, I've done 800. The church building was next to a nursing home, and he would often be asked to do them. You feel inadequate. You feel inadequate because those who are preachers right now, and you're here at Focal Point, things are going on back home. And you can't be two places at the same time. You feel inadequate. Your preacher will struggle with those feelings if he's worth his salt. Even though he might manifest it with the veneer of self-confidence. Number six. I often wish you shepherded more, that you shepherded more. And by not shepherding more, I sometimes think you're hurting the church. My job is to tell you what preachers won't tell you. I'm not asking if you like it. I'm just asking if this is true. Preachers want elders to be shepherds. Now, when you look at these men in this position, an elder, a man of maturity, not simply chronological maturity, age, that's involved, but maturity spiritually, right? An elder is an overseer. An overseer. He's a manager. He sees over things to make sure that what's been committed to his care is cared for properly. What a sacred trust. But third, an elder is a shepherd, a pastor. Feed them, lead them, protect them, get them home. And feeding them, leading them, protecting them, and getting them home also means that you know them. Maybe they've been in your home many times and you have gone to theirs. The shepherd's heart. It's one thing for a person to want to be spiritually mature, an elder. It's another to be an overseer. But the fact is, there can sometimes become a spiritual imbalance in the very identity of an elder. There's so many meetings. God bless you. I'd rather have a root canal than go to meetings all the time. And I know elders go to many meetings. God bless you in that. But sometimes you can have fewer meetings and avoid what the meetings are about by doing more visitation, more shepherding. Save yourself the meetings and save yourself some of the grief. Get into the people's homes and have them in yours and know them. You'll be so glad that you did, and they'll love you. They'll love you. Because like a preacher, we've said this many times, if a preacher can make it to people's homes in his first couple of years in ministry and then try to continue that over the years, you can be a C-plus preacher, but if you're an A-plus Christian, they'll never forget you. They'll never forget you. Well, you may be a C-plus elder in some ways, but if you're an A-plus shepherd and caring for them, they will always look at you with love and respect. Now, next. Every now and then, and this is number seven, every now and then, what preachers won't say to their elders. How much time have I got, Joe?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay. We're blowing and going. We're going to make it, guys. I don't know if I am, but you're going to. But anyway, this is number seven. I often wish that every now and then you'd bounce a decision off of me before I have to deal with the cleanup. Every now and then, I wish you'd bounce it off of me. I know I'm not an elder, and I gotta tell you, I don't want to be. I am happy to be a preacher and doing what I'm doing. I've got all on my plate that I could have. Maybe that's not true of every preacher. You know, got armchair quarterback preachers who think that they can do a great job. I understand that. That they'll lose that, I'll tell you, when they really understand what they're doing as preachers. What's entailed in the ministry of preaching the gospel. But sometimes there is antagonism, just like in a marriage, you can have that creeping distance that gets between the man and the woman, the husband and the wife. You get that antagonism and creeping distance between the preacher and the elders. And the elders adopt, whether it is stated or not, a policy, the silent treatment. We're going to go about our business. We're going to go about our business. And the preacher, like a wife, is saying, why aren't you talking to me? And seriously, we realize we are not elders and that in matters of judgment, you guys have to take the ball and run with it. You make decisions. And we are thankful for that. We honor that. We want to respect that. But there are some times that you ought to at least consult the preacher before you make the decision, because it makes really good sense. It makes really good sense. It might just be that that is an area where he is more in the know than even many of the elders. Again, it doesn't mean he doesn't understand protocol and respect authority, but he may well be more in the know in some specifics than the eldership. I find that some elders have a tendency to talk to people in the pew and get their input far more than they ever consider talking to the preacher. Especially if they're the ones that are putting the big bucks in the plate, or been there a long time, or they happen to be related to you. Hey, listen, what's my topic? What preachers won't tell their elders. Next year, I'm going to be glad to handle what elders won't tell their preacher, if you want me to. Now, so bounce the ideas off. I work under the eldership at Westside in Midland, and both of the men I work under, I love. I'm related to one by marriage. He and I have been good friends for 30 years. The other shepherd in our congregation is a man whose wedding ceremony I did. It'd be hard to find a more sincere, fine man than he. But sometimes in just the everyday busyness of things, arbitrary decisions can be made without talking to each other and without involving people who might have helped in that process. Think about this and involve people who might be helpful in making a more expedient decision. Your preacher will appreciate so much you talking with them. And they don't want your job. Now, here's number 8. What preachers won't tell their elders. They would never say this to the elders. But it can happen. I would never intentionally undermine the leadership here. But sometimes I wonder if we're even on the same page. I would never intentionally undermine the eldership, the leadership here, but sometimes I wonder if we're even on the same page. We preach lessons on the need of godly fellowship with one another and the practice of church discipline. And sometimes we feel that our legs have been cut out from under us because godly elders will not step up and practice godly church discipline when people need it for the sake of the church. Sometimes we preach a particularly hard sermon, one that might have even been suggested by the leaders of the congregation, knowing full well that some in the pew might not receive it as well as one would hope. Blessed indeed is the preacher who knows that he's on the same page with his elders, because they will get up and say, this is exactly what we wanted him to preach and we asked him to do it.
Amen.
Because you see, when the husband and the wife stand together, the kids know they can't get as far off base. You want to be on the same page. Now let's go back to Acts 20, because we began with Acts 20. A template for elder-preacher relations. Paul is not sure about his future other than the fact that chains await. Isn't that right? Who does he call? Does he call another preacher? Preachers often will go to other preachers, but I long for the day when preachers and elders will talk to each other and have what Paul and the Ephesian elders had. Because we work with you. I'm a comrade in arms with Neil Pollard and with others who in this assembly, John Baker, who are gospel preachers. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody in the world that should love and appreciate good elders more than preachers. He called them. And the conversation that they had was so open, so gracious, so sweet. It was full of words of counsel and admonition both ways. They were willing to meet him, weren't they? They left home and met him because of the esteem they had for each other. And at the end of Acts 20, and it's so touching, they walk with him, they hug him, they pray with him, and tears are shed, and the relationship that they have is the relationship for which every eldership and every preacher should be striving. I'll tell you what. Elders wouldn't forget a preacher like that, would they? And preachers would never forget elders like that. You are dismissed.